Hello, and welcome to Tater Talk, a roundtable discussion about various topics such as gaming, streaming, content creation, and all kinds of other things. Today, we're going to discuss TwitchCon. I'm Orkin, and I'll be joined in this discussion by Cubos, the Emotional Support Unicorn, Mac and Cheese Please, Pika Punch, and Trina Ballerina. I want to thank you for joining us, and let's go ahead and dive right into this Tater Talk.
So, what was our first question from yesterday?
The first question I asked yesterday was, what was everybody's like favorite thing about TwitchCon? Which was fun, cool, because you all had the same answer.
We did all have the same answer, which was people. TwitchCon is all about the people.
Yeah, meeting people from your community and other streamers that you make connections with through the website and through like collaborations and stuff, and being able to put a face to the name, a handshake, and see them in person and realize that what you're doing isn't just a bunch of data on the internet, it's real people.
I think like the coolest thing about that too is like, even though you talk to them online, like you might have been a little nervous to meet them, but then in person it was like you've already known them for like ever too.
I noticed that with absolutely everybody that I met, even people that I was like really nervous about meeting, because like I've watched them and like they're inspiring, amazing creators. When I actually met them, it was just like, oh, they're just people and they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it almost feels like you've known them your entire life in a way. Like I, not necessarily at TwitchCon, but at another convention, I had met one of my mods for the first time. And I thought it was going to be awkward and weird, but it wasn't. It literally felt like I've known them, like, forever.
I had that experience at this TwitchCon. I got to meet one of my mods, and they are every bit as wonderful and sweet in person as they are online. Fast friends.
Yeah, exactly. Fast friends is the perfect word for that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You guys said it all like perfectly. Like being able to
rehearsal yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was pretty great. But just to like, I guess, add to what everyone's saying, just being able to make the connection with everyone, like you've already made it online, but to make it in person, it just like really puts everything in perspective. Like, you know, you're actually doing stuff for people.
Just to help the audience, we did this yesterday and had a failure in our recording, so we're doing it again.
Take two.
Something we did yesterday that we haven't done yet today is actually introduce ourselves, so nobody knows who the heck we are.
Oh, true.
Oh yeah, we should start off with that.
I'm Cubos. I started streaming just under a year ago now. I'm a community and variety streamer. I started off in the Fortnite directory until I realized that I don't really want to just play Fortnite and big multiplayer, big name games. I want to play community-oriented games and give back to people, so one of the things that I do a lot is take my Twitch payouts every month and ask my community what they want to do with it, whether it's giving to charity or helping other people get to TwitchCon like we did this year. Everything that I do for streaming is not necessarily about me, it's about all the people that come to hang out with me, and that's what I do.
My name's Uni. I'm the Emotional Support Unicorn on Twitch. I am a mental health and LGBT advocate. My goal is really to create a safe and accepting environment where my viewers can be their most authentic selves, free of judgment. And what that looks like on stream is we have emotional support streams where it's an open forum to talk about what's going on in your life. We talk about tools in order to live more authentically and effectively with whatever it is we have going on. We also do ASMR streams so we can collectively chill the heck out together. And I do play some games, but it's a small part of what I do. I like playing indie games that we can just kind of relax with.
My name is Mac and Cheese Please. Everyone calls me Mac, and I'm a Twitch streamer and YouTuber. My streaming community is really focused on Nintendo-themed games. I love playing community-focused games. I play a lot of Smash and Super Mario Maker 2 as well as other style games. My community is really, really positive, and I definitely try to like forget the day at the door when we start stream, and so everybody can just have a really good time. And even if life is kind of hard right now, I really try to focus on forgetting that and just having a good, fun 3 or 4 hours with the community.
My name is Orkin. I am a variety streamer with a tech and tech support focus. I play games that make my brain work, usually. Things like StarCraft and sometimes shooters, but less often that. And I'm also the organizer for Tater Talk, which is why I'm part of this conversation. I think I'm also the only one here who has not been to TwitchCon.
I'm PikaPunch. I predominantly play Nintendo-based games, like on the Switch and stuff. But I like to vary it up on like other consoles, I guess, sometimes. Play a lot of Splatoon 2. Like, that's mostly where my community's based in. And yeah, I mean, like, we're, I guess, a topic-oriented stream where I kind of just ask a question every day and we discuss various things, and I try not to, like, belittle anyone's opinion, even if, you know, I don't, like, agree with them, because hearing other people's opinions helps me, like, with my own perspective. So, yeah.
I am Trina, or Trina Ballerina on Twitch, and I am a variety gamer and health and wellness cooking streamer on the weekends. I typically stream a lot of Destiny 2 lately, but I also like to do a lot of community focused games or like story driven games. A lot of the games that I have liked to play were Life is Strange, Man of Maiden was one of the ones that I recently really enjoyed to play, but a lot of those games that I just like to sit back and be able to talk to my community and get to like have a good relationship with them while I'm streaming and stuff like that. So
awesome. Now the audience knows who we are.
Whoop, hooray.
Hello, audience. No.
So we've talked a little bit about how people were, you know, really what TwitchCon's about. Did anybody want to go more into that, or do we want to move on to other aspects?
I'm curious how everybody prepped for TwitchCon.
The only thing that I honestly did was look at my business card stack and be like, wow, I think I only have like 70 cards left. So I ordered new business cards. But the funny thing about that is I only handed out one business card the entire weekend. And part of me, I used to have this like thing with business cards where like I felt like it was so necessary to have them. But I feel like if you have a genuine, true connection with somebody, you're going to remember them. Like, you don't need a business card to remember that, oh yeah, I talked to so-and-so. Yeah, they were cool. Let me go follow them. Like, more often than not, like, you whip your phone out right then and there and be like, hey, I'm going to follow you right now. And then you just do it. So it's definitely interesting.
I really, really think that having your phone or some, like, note-taking implement with you at TwitchCon is absolutely necessary as like over business cards. That's my personal opinion from having gone through it all, but like I didn't get handed a single business card until somebody did it as a joke. I was just like, okay, this is great, because I specifically didn't go in with business cards. I didn't want to hand out business cards because my goal was to make connections with people instead of having them remember me by a piece of paper. And like I say, the only time I got a business card was somebody jokingly handing it to me and being like, don't forget me. And I'm like, dude, I already follow you.
I try to do like a different approach because I've kind of heard like a lot of people saying like, you shouldn't just give out your business cards to everyone. So a couple months ago, I actually made like business card stickers, which it didn't really have much of my info on it. It just had like my username and like the little symbols of like where I was at, and like kind of just showed a little bit about me on there, which I felt like that was a lot of easier to hand out to it, like a sticker. And I had business cards more for like potential sponsors and stuff like that. So like when I streamed at Alienware, they got one of those, and some other companies that I talked to, they got like my actual business card rather than my sticker.
I like that technique, Trina. I did something kind of similar. I ordered business cards because I didn't have business cards for Emotional Support Unicorn. So they're super fucking cute. I was really excited to hand them out, and I really didn't hand out very many of them. I handed them out to people who asked for them, and I handed them out to people who like needed them. But what I did give out a ton of were buttons. I made buttons that were really super cute, and they just had my Twitch website like really small on there. And that's primarily what I gave out. I gave out like 300 of those, and everyone was so fucking stoked. I think people are happier to get like cool little items like a sticker or a patch or a button or a badge than a business card. And I think it makes it a little bit more memorable too. And I know like for me personally, it's a lot easier to like ask somebody like, hey, would you like this cool item, rather than like, hey, would you like this paper with my name on it?
Yeah, definitely.
And I was lucky enough to get one of those buttons.
I'm happy you got one.
I've actually noticed that. So this was my fourth TwitchCon, and something that I've seen throughout the years is like people having buttons or stickers, or like one person had pencils that they were giving their community members, and I was like, that is a fantastic idea. But I never like went through with it, because I'm like, what can I give people? Like at one point I drink a lot of tea, and I was like, I can give people tea bags, but then I was like, that sounds expensive. So I never went through with it. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, it makes it really memorable if you're like, here's this thing, and it's not just a piece of paper.
Yeah, I liked the button idea from Uni, and they were all handmade, right?
Yeah, I made it myself.
Yeah, that's so I really think that cool. Especially people who knew that were like, oh, I need this.
Made them with my own little hooves.
I don't know. I kind of like business cards. I know that there could be like this air of like, oh, well, kind of like a business transaction. I mean, they are business cards, but it's kind of weird to lead a conversation with one, or like end one, especially if you're trying to make like a genuine connection. But after a while, I kind of just like stopped feeling like people were trying to like sell themselves. And I kind of started looking at them like, all right, well, these are their own personal trading cards, you know, type deal. Oh, like, now I have this person's, and now I have this person's, like. But you guys are definitely right, because, like, stickers or just, like, items in general, aside, like, what we're used to, like, really stand out, and it just makes, I don't know, a bigger impact. It's like, oh, wow, they put the effort into standing out that way, and that's awesome.
It's the same thing as creating content on the platform, I think. If you can do something that stands out just a little bit and people understand and recognize that it stands out, it goes so much further.
Definitely. I don't have experience with business cards at a con, but I've had business cards for my contractor business that I used to have for several years now, and I found that I don't like hand them out very often, but it is nice to have some on me, so that if somebody asks for my phone number, I can give them something physical that they can reference at any time.
Yeah.
I will say that I liked getting business cards from people, and I have this system with my business cards going through them after con, where like I have a list of people that I've been to their channel before. And then I have like a stack of people that I haven't visited before. And then I just kind of go through it that way. So I make sure I'm able to like reconnect with people again, based on that system. It helps my brain just keep track of it all.
There were some really unique ones, like Caramel Surprise actually brought those little square caramel candies with, like, he got his own wrappers done and wrapped up caramel candies, and his Twitch username and a little tiny picture were on the wrappers.
Weren't they like QR codes?
QR codes on them. Yeah, and his Twitch name.
Oh, that's good.
That Solid is so idea. Clever.
Yeah, it's very clever. I didn't do anything to prep for TwitchCon except get on a plane. I was like, I'm not bringing business cards. I don't know what to expect with people. I was like, I'm packing my bag. I'm packing because I know it's going to be warm. You know, I'm coming from northern Canada where right now it's cold, or at that time of year even, it was cold. And I'm like, okay, I'm packing for this, and I'm throwing a couple of good clothes in for the dinners and the after parties, and that's it. Oh, and I drank Emergency beforehand, because everybody was like, you're going to get sick.
Smart move, dude. But that's some good prep. I mean, like, I don't know. I was there with my buddy Ziggy. Like, we split an Airbnb, and probably like the week before, we spent a crap ton of time like planning out all the panels we wanted to go to. So that was like the extent of like preparation that we did, and we ended up not doing any of it at all. But like that's all I had going for TwitchCon. I mean, I kind of had a feel for like what to expect, since like it's my second one, and I don't know, just like being able to hang out with everybody is just like so much better than, I don't know, sitting in a room and being told stuff that's online.
That's kind of what we talked about yesterday too, was like, if you can go in with a minimal plan so that if nothing else you can follow that plan, but as soon as you meet up with people or see other people or a group comes by that you know of, like, you can scrap the plan and just go with the flow. As long as you have a base minimum for what you think you want to do for the day, your day just gets so much better from there as you keep meeting new people.
Definitely. It's good to have something to fall back on, like a safety net. Yeah. I think uni like set it perfectly, especially like with all the people that you know that are there. It's like they're all in the same place, and it's just it'll work out well. You know what I mean? Even if you don't have much of a plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I like is to have like one or two things that you really want to do each day and make sure that those happen, and then just let everything else kind of happen naturally. So I left my con hours completely unplanned, but my after con hours I had planned pretty exacting between different meetups and different parties. Some were stacked three deep. I was a busy unicorn, y'all. But but my con hours, I was actually really stressed out about it, because I was like, okay, what if I go in and I don't know anybody and nobody I know is around, and then what do I do? I didn't plan anything. So I was like, I was super anxious about it. But every day when I got there, it just unfolded completely naturally. I would walk in and be like, oh, there's my friend that I know from the internet. Hello, friend from the internet. And then things just beautifully snowball and flow until my actual planned plan started after con. I loved it. It worked out so well.
Yeah, I think, like, so this was my fourth TwitchCon, and it's so interesting because my first TwitchCon, I planned out every day. I was in panels literally until the con closed. I barely set foot on the expo floor. Like, all I wanted to immerse myself in learning so badly that I definitely skimped out on meeting people. Like, that was my first, like, gaming convention. So, like, I didn't even know, like, after parties. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I was like, oh, the con's over. Time to eat food and go home. Like, I literally didn't know, and I didn't know anybody. So now at cons, like, I don't even look at the panels. I don't go to panels because I know that the VOD is just going to be there anyways. So I'm just like, you know what? Like, if I need to know the information or I was interested in it, I can just watch the VOD, and then I spend way more time talking to people, because I see TwitchCon as like a friend con. Like, it's just like a reunion of people I get to see once or maybe twice a year.
I love that. TwitchCon is FriendCon.
Yeah.
I have a very similar first TwitchCon story where I didn't know anybody. My first TwitchCon was a month after I started streaming, and I started streaming right when I started my Twitch adventure. So I didn't know anyone. I went and did a bunch of panels. I spent a lot of time on the expo floor. I met some people like at the TwitchCon party, but for the most part, I mean, I met people in lines too, because last year was LineCon, but
yeah.
Oh, I remember seeing tweets.
Yeah, the LineCon was a real thing last year. And I have to give Twitch credit for that. There was zero. There was the anti-LineCon. Like, that line was moving this year. Mm-hmm. They really stepped up their game.
They weren't going to allow that to happen again.
No, they, and I don't think they could, like, afford for, like, another thing like that to happen again. They would be like, oh, damn. But I think with having already been in San Diego, like, my opinion on, like, why each year TwitchCon is a total shit show is because every TwitchCon has been in a new location every year. So they don't get to learn, like, okay, this entrance not a good entrance to hold blah, blah, blah at. We should do it here. They don't get to learn and adapt. They are literally doing it new and blind at a new place every year. So now that they went back to San Diego, they kind of already knew what to expect because that was their second time there.
And they're going to be here next year as well.
Whoop, whoop. Yes. I love San Diego. That was, like, honestly the best con.
I mean, I'm Southern California based, so I am all about it being in San Diego.
And I'm Northern Canada based, so I'm all about it being in Southern California.
The one thing I wish they would have did this year, because this is my first con, I wish they would have, like, had like a map like online like of like where things were inside the con, because like Friday I streamed at the Alienware booth, and for one I had no idea when the doors actually opened because they didn't have that information anywhere, and when I asked at badge pickup on Thursday none of the employees knew. And so I had no idea where I was going. I like got there early enough that I was lucky to get in early enough.
I think they missed a huge opportunity to integrate a map and like the planning, almost like a calendar or a day planner for yourself in the Twitch app.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah,
I know that they have that for the San Diego Comic Con, and that's very helpful.
Well, it's the same convention space, right?
Sorry. Yeah, it is.
Did they even have a Twitch app this year? Because all the other Twitch cons, there was an app, but I didn't see an app this year.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I didn't think there was.
I apologize for the cars in the background. I live in Chicago.
You can't help it.
I don't know. Like, last year was my first year, and I did, like, have the app, but I didn't really use it much. It was pretty much like a scheduler. I didn't see one this year. I don't think they had one this year, but I didn't miss it either.
I think the only thing, if they did have an app, the only thing I really would have wanted was a map, so I kind of had a general idea of where I was going. Like, they had the maps inside the con, but it would have been nice to be able to kind of, like, plan ahead a little bit.
That would have been nice. I mean, there were some things that I would have liked to have seen that I didn't find. Like, I was looking for the AFK room that Take This org puts on, which is a volunteer-staffed room that you can kind of get away from the hubbub of the con. And I didn't see it. It wasn't, like, readily available. I don't remember seeing it on a map or anything.
Something that we had talked about in the past was dealing with anxiety issues in such a social environment like TwitchCon. Did you guys do anything in particular to prepare or like calm yourself down, if any of you do deal with anxiety or social stress?
Yeah, absolutely. I always bring the conversation back to mental health, so thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. I do have anxiety issues. At the San Diego Comic-Con, just a few months before TwitchCon, I had a panic attack. And I was so concerned that that was going to happen at TwitchCon because I didn't want to have that same experience, especially when I'm trying to network and be with friends and talk to potential sponsors. And like, I didn't want to have that happen. So I did a lot of work to prepare myself and set myself up for success. Part of that was making sure I had a buddy so that if I did find myself really stressed out that I could reach out to someone. So I had a couple of different people that I talked to ahead of time and was like, look, if I find myself working into like an anxiety or a panic attack, can I call you? One of those people was my mod who I'd never met before. And they were like, yeah, absolutely. So that was super helpful just so that I knew that somebody was there and I wasn't completely on my own because it feels like that sometimes. Even though there's like hundreds and thousands of people around you. The other thing that I did is I made sure that I had some CBD. I've been taking that for the past 3 months. And it has made such a difference in my life. I literally did not have one anxiety attack, not one panic attack. I hardly even felt anxious the entire time. I was taking a lot of CBD. But I was shocked. I've never been to a convention or a crowded like meeting of people like that without at least having like a, you know, like suck in your gut type of situation feeling. But it felt what I imagine normal feels like. It felt really good.
I don't know. That's awesome. Mentioned, yeah, that is awesome. Like, props to you for not even, you know, having any type of attacks or anything.
I'm as surprised as anybody.
Well, I feel like I like went in with a lot more anxiety than I ended up having. I didn't really have like a plan, but I mean, I did go in with friends and I did hang out with like, you know, people that I was already familiar with. So that definitely helped me out. But kind of like how I said yesterday, I just felt like once I got in the zone, if that makes sense, once I just kind of like let myself be a part of the experience and, you know, be connected with everybody, it like really made everything that I thought was going to be weird, like not weird.
Yeah. And I second that. It was for me, I don't really enjoy super huge crowds like music festivals and conventions and stuff, but it helps when you think about it ahead of time and you have at least a minimum plan, you know, a couple of people there that if you need to just say, hey, can we hang out? You've got that social aspect that even though you're among thousands of people, you're among one or two people that you trust. And then also understanding that everybody is there for the same thing you are, which is to meet other people and be there for the games and learn more about streaming. So that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think some. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You go. Please.
Something for me when I'm in social situations, I just feel like I never know what to talk about. Like I have like very certain interests, and most of the time, like I don't care about small talk. I'm like, I don't care about the weather. Like, don't ask me that, you know? And so when I go to gaming conventions, I just feel like I can talk to strangers and literally anybody at the convention floor, because like deep down we're all nerds and we all are into video games and we're all into the same types of hobbies. And I love like diving in and asking people about like their latest Dungeons and Dragons campaign or the latest boss fight that they had a struggle beating and how they overcame that. And so I just feel like I can really open up more out of my shell at TwitchCon and other gaming conventions just because I know what to talk about versus at like another con where I'm like, nice shoes. Like, I just like don't know what to say, I guess, with like quote normal people.
Awkwardly, yeah. Twiddles thumbs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Definitely feel that too. Like, this was my first con and it felt like a lot easier to be able to talk to people, and like even if you watch their streams you kind of like have a general idea of what they do in their life and on a daily. And like in my own personal life, I feel like I have like a secret side of my life, because it's really hard to talk about streaming and what I do on stream without people kind of like looking at you funny. And like my current job is bartending, so like when people ask me like what I do besides bartending, I'm just kind of like, oh, I do other things. Like, I don't talk about streaming because like a lot of the people that come to my work aren't going to understand what I do. They're just going to look at me funny and all that. So
I tell people I'm an online male entertainer and see how they react.
Oh my.
Yes. Believable.
Yeah.
Understandable. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just definitely felt a lot easier to be able to connect with people at the con, just like Max said. So
I have a question. Something we kind of touched on yesterday as well, which would be top moments of TwitchCon.
Oh man, I don't know if I want to repeat what I said yesterday, because I felt like such a cocky like jerk.
No, you should.
No, I thought it was
a great
good
story.
Yeah. You think so? Okay. All right. Well, so like my favorite moments about TwitchCon, where it was just kind of like the reassurance of like seeing my like, man, how do I say this? Seeing that you're actually doing stuff for people. So like all of last year, not all the time, but it happened frequent enough where it was kind of like about having the moments of like people coming up to me and being like, oh, are you Pika Punch type deal? And then this year it was more about like being outside of the con and in different social settings, and then the realization of people being like, oh, you're Pika Punch. And that just made me feel awesome. That made me feel really cool. And also I really loved meeting like, you know, Uni and Cubos and seeing Trina again. but the Yam Fam meetup was awesome. Like, we said this yesterday, but I didn't even know that Cubos was Cubos. I was like,
we hugged, and then he was like, yeah, hey, nice to meet you. And then he looked away, and I'm like, oh, that's really weird. That doesn't seem like Pika. And then he looked back at me and he's like, wait a minute.
I was like, who is this handsome guy? And then I was like, wait, there's only one person who could be. And then Uni is as magical in person as you think she is online.
You are too sweet. You know,
it's true.
I have to say, Pika, your hair is even more majestic in person than it is online.
Oh, go on.
Oh, go on. Oh, you.
And then, I don't know, like, Trina's awesome, too. Like, we met before TwitchCon, and then, you know, being able to see her again and stuff was awesome. She's just an absolutely sweet person.
Hey, stop it.
I'm super...
When are we going to get pizza?
Pizza.
I wish I got to meet Mac, yo.
Oh, same.
I know. I'm kind of bummed I didn't go to the meetup. Like, you had told me about it, and then I just forgot that it was a thing, and then I was like, darn it. So next con, if anyone is going to PAX South, we should totally have another VM fan meetup. I just kind of like blipped on that for sure.
I had to be reminded by Trina and Uni several times. Actually, so they were like, don't forget dinner on Friday. I'm like, oh yeah, you right.
But you know, there's so much going on and so many different opportunities that you probably equally want to take advantage of. So it's easy to let things slip. That happened with me. I wanted to go to the after show with all of the Twitch musicians. I really, really wanted to go. I was too sick to perform, but yeah, I just wanted to go and support everybody and be part of that magic. And I couldn't do it. It was on Sunday night. I had gone to con during the day. I went to the big gay beach party. I went to the big gay club party after that, and by that point I was like, I can't do another party
I need to go home.
I think it's really easy to let yourself burn out just by accident. There's so many things to do.
Yeah.
I definitely burnt the candle at both ends. And I did so much of what I wanted to do, but I got heckin' sick. I was not taking care of my body the way that I knew I should have. So I'm hoping to do a little bit better by myself next year.
My favorite part of TwitchCon, or like event that I attended, was actually the main menu Tiltify party. It was on Friday night, and it was hands down my favorite event or party that I attended. It was really low key. There was music, but it wasn't overly loud, so you can still have conversations. It was on top of the rooftop at the Hard Rock, and so like the view was really pretty, and it was a mix of like affiliates and community members, as well as like what people would consider like top tier streamers. And so like really having a chance to like talk to people that you look up to, as well as meet new friends. That was probably my favorite event that I attended, just because of the opportunity to actually talk to people, because all of the bar scenes, like once like 9:30 hit, all the bars like ramped up the music, and I was like shouting to be heard because I'm a little more soft-spoken IRL. So it was just kind of nice to have an event that was a little quieter.
I wish all the events were a little quieter.
Yes.
Yeah, I think my... Sorry,
one of the events that was definitely not quiet that I really loved was the After Dark party. Yeah. And that was really neat. I got to meet some amazing people while I was there. I got to meet Anxiety and Albino Liger, and just some seriously... Brick and Nick was there, and so I got to meet people that I'd met before and that I love, and people that I've admired on the internet that I actually got to like say, hey, I love what you do, I get to see your face in person, this is so cool. So that was a lot of fun, but it was loud, and being sick with the loud was difficult.
I
got the con cred, y'all.
Uni actually invited me to come to that After Dark party, and I was late to show up, so Uni had been standing in line with Taylor, right?
Yeah.
In line for over an hour, and then I showed up, and they were at the front of the line, and I just got to cut in,
which was sweet. Lucky duck.
But there were, like, I was so surprised. I didn't really understand until I was in there, like, who was actually going to be there, and, you know, like, seeing Anxiety and Luxie Games and her girlfriend Bean, and like just so many people that I watch on Twitch who are, you know, like not necessarily huge streamers, but definitely bigger streamers. And I was just like, oh my god, I'm rubbing shoulders with these people. I am in fanboy heaven here right now. This is insane.
Yeah, it was really fun. Oh, there's one other thing that was really fucking... Not one other thing. There's tons of things that were cool. But there's one thing I keep forgetting about. As soon as I walked into the convention on Friday morning, the local news was like, hey, we're going to put you on the news. And I was like, what? So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm on the local news for like 3 seconds. But, yeah, that's a thing I did, which is really fucking cool and random.
That is really fucking cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they were taking video and pictures of people that were doing cosplay, right?
The story piece, from what I remember, was kind of about, they were trying to figure out what TwitchCon actually was, and
what is, like, okay. What is
this? I'll send Orkin the link so you all can watch it. But it seemed like it was people who didn't really understand TwitchCon or like creative platforms like this, and trying to figure out what it is. And it was a lot of, I think what their conclusion was what our conclusion was, is that we come together and find community. So that means there are a ton of people saying that exact same thing. We're here at TwitchCon, we're meeting our friends from online and people that we admire, and we're all in this together.
Cool.
So, something we didn't talk about yesterday, the announcements about Twitch that they make every year and the ones they made this year.
I actually didn't go to, I forgot what they call that, the opening panel or whatever.
Ceremony or something like that?
The ceremony. I didn't go. So, like, I literally don't know any of the announcements. Like, I hear stuff about, like, ad revenue for affiliates, and then that was the only thing that I, like, really heard buzz about. But I also heard something about sub revenue getting increased, but I don't know if that's true. Like, tell me the things, I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about sub revenue. I did hear about the ad revenue being made available to affiliates, and something else for affiliates too. I didn't go to the things either. I went to literally not one panel, not one ceremony. It was all friends for me this year.
Yeah.
Some of the changes that they're making were the ad revenue for affiliates and then a new creator dashboard being rolled out, which looks more like Stream Elements now, which I actually don't like. I like the creator dashboard the way it is personally. There was that. The announcement that everything is in San Diego for the next year.
Whoop whoop.
I think that's all. That was like the big three.
Those are the big ones, yeah.
I think we're missing the most important part here. The slight change in the shade of purple.
Oh my god.
Oh, yes.
Oh, of course, yes.
That's a kerfuffle.
Right.
Yeah, I went to about like 10-15 minutes of the opening ceremony, but I wasn't in the actual theater. I was like in a different room just watching the stream, and like at least the first 10-15 minutes was them just like announcing things that they already announced on Twitter, and I was like, this is dumb and we have to go to the YAM meetup anyways, let's just leave.
I had heard that they announced new partners on stage at the opening
ceremony. Oh, I got to meet one of them. One.
Yeah. Did they do one or more than one? I can't remember.
I think they did one, and then they want to do that every year.
Like, yeah, I saw that video. Tradition. It was epic.
Yeah, I met him at the Bottle Spark party. He does ASMR, and he is such a sweet person. He was thrilled about it. He had no idea that they were going to make him a partner. They told him he was going to be there as like part of a panel, so it was a total surprise for him.
Aww.
That's
neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm like, how are they going to know if he actually shows up or not? Like, how are they going to get him to go? So, that's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I was like, was that, like, planned out? Did he really know? Because that seemed, his reaction was so genuine. So, it was nice to be able to catch up with him later and figure out how that actually transpired.
I went to the closing ceremony mostly because I knew Scene of Action was going to be there, which if you haven't checked out his streams, they're amazing. They're like music videos, but they're live.
So good.
Yeah.
And so like that was the main reason that I went there. And I luckily was able to catch one of the partners that I watch as he was leaving to go to the airport. I just was like, hey, I like grabbed him as he was leaving quick, and it was super awesome, and he was super genuine. He knew who I was, and it was like the best like little moment that we had, even though he had to go really quickly. But I'm actually kind of glad that I went to the closing ceremony just for that reason, and I got to see Scene of Action. So
that's so cool.
I saw Bloody Faster in the airport on the day that I was meant to leave, which was Monday morning. But I was way too like anxious to be like, oh my god, are you Bloody Faster? Hi. She was also like running for a plane by the looks of it, so I was like, I'm not gonna stop her.
Oh, but just like being in the same room type deal, like, whoa.
Yeah, you, just like looking up and being like, yeah, in a crowded airport too, being like, hey, I know you.
I had a missed connection this year with Mermaid Unicorn. I got to meet her last TwitchCon, and she actually, like, knew who I was. I was flabbergasted, but we're both unicorn people, so, like, we know each other. So, but
I feel like the unicorn community might be even smaller than Twitch.
It's real tight-knit. But this year, on Friday, I was going to get my badge, and the line was, like I said, moving. We were moving at a clip, and she was, like, standing off to the side, and I saw her and all of her beautiful rainbow glory, and I was like, but, like, she was also in the middle of a conversation, so it was just, it wasn't meant to be. I was so sad I missed her this year.
Yeah, same as when I saw Mac.
She was really sick this year, Uni. Did you know that?
She was sick, and she fucking killed her performance and won Twitch Sings anyway.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Crazy.
She's so inspiring.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about peeps that made us go all, like, star-eyed, I got to meet two partners, one by the name of Retro Gaijin. He does games, but I think, like, he does mainly, like IRL streams type deal. I just happened to catch him, like, at Artist Alley, so that was, like, really cool. I was like, yo, I'm watching your stream since whenever, and he was like, yo, that was a little while ago, and it was just, like, really cool to make that connection, to validate, I don't know, whatever I was referencing. And then, the other guy that I got to meet, his name is Crunchy Egg Rolls, and he does he's a DVD partner, and I don't know, I got to get a picture with him. He was actually printing like pictures out like with the camera that he had. It was pretty cool, so I got to take that home.
That is wicked awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. But yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I mean, I guess I wasn't really too starstruck.
I feel like Saturday was my day to meet a lot of people, because Friday I was stuck in the Alienware booth most of the day. Long story short, we had some technical difficulties that day and I got two streaming slots, but it was a great experience otherwise. So I didn't get to do much on Friday, but Saturday I got to meet like a lot of my friends, and then like partnered streamers. Samuel Tucker Young was one of them. Midream LA, they're both music streamers, and I just like,
I can't believe I missed Midream LA. I didn't even know they were there.
Yeah, they were there. And his fiance cool. Danielle, they were so sweet, and like they were watching like someone perform out, like on the outside there was like people performing, and she was like, his fiance was like introducing me to other music streamers. Like they were so personable, and it was like the best experience I had. And they like knew who I was. Like I lurk a lot in their streams, but I talk occasionally, and it just was like kind of a cool experience that they actually knew who I was.
Oh, I'm so jelly.
Yeah. And then also on Saturday, I was exploring the expo floor, and Dr. Disrespect was by G Fuel, and so I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to get a Dr. Disrespect signature for my fiance. And so I was kind of standing in line for that. And then my friend turned around and he's like, hey, that's GLAAD's logo, which if you don't know who GLAAD is, he's a big Destiny 2 streamer, which I'm nerdy. I like Destiny 2. And like, then he looks a little bit further. He's like, that's GLAAD. And so we moved over to his line because it was shorter, obviously. And like we got to talk to him and got to meet him, and he was really personal too. And then I got to catch Dr. Disrespect too, like right before he left, and got a signature for Taylor. So that was like two of my big highlights on Saturday. I got to meet some pretty cool people out there. So
that's awesome.
That's yeah. Way awesome. Makes me want to go.
You should come.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If I can fit it in the budget one of these years, I will.
Something that we've kind of touched on before, but like TwitchCon is something that I think that even if it sells out, like you should totally try to go anyways, because most of the like solid connections, in my opinion, don't even happen on the con floor or the con premises. Like it happens like at the bars, at the restaurants, on the street, like when you're walking, like that's when you get to meet people and truly talk and connect to them. Because I feel like on the con floor, everyone's just kind of like, oh, like they have schedules, they have agendas, they have stuff they have to do. But like that's when you meet people, and that's when you like forge those like lifelong friendships.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, it's really cool going to like the Charity Plaza and Artist Alley. It's neat being able to do con things. But even if you can only afford to go one day, or even if you can't afford a ticket at all, if you can just be in the city, you will catch amazing people, and you can still be a part of so many things that are happening after con hours.
100%. Because all the after parties, like most of them, you don't even have to have a con ticket. Like, you just have to, I guess, know the people that are organizing it to get onto the list or, like, get invited. So even if you can't afford a ticket, if you can afford a flight and a hotel or an Airbnb, like, that's the way to do it. I know a lot of people this year that actually didn't even get con tickets. They just went and had a really great time in San Diego.
Yeah, I think there's, like, this guard that's let down once you're at the bars and stuff, you know, after a couple of drinks. and I don't know, it's just fun to, you know, see everybody have fun and just be in the same place that everybody else is at, even if you don't end up going to the convention. Because, like, the convention is fun, but it's not really all that. Because, like, it's the people that make it, and I know we've said this, but, like, it's worth going because all your friends are going to be there. You know, it's like, it's not often that you get all of your internet, you know, friendos in the same place.
Definitely.
It's also got this very, I talked to somebody else about this. It's got this very honeymoon vibe, you know, like you're there for such a short amount of time. And you know that you have such a limited amount of time that you're trying to pack as many things and as many encounters and as much time with people in as you can. So you sleep less and you do more. Mm-hmm. And you come away from it, like a lot of people talked about it, like this post-con sadness, because you have such an amazing time for 3 to 5 days and then you walk away from it all. And you're just like, oh, okay, that wasn't necessarily real life, but goddamn, did I have a good time. And then you got to go back to real life, and it's sad.
that's the thing, that's for sure.
The same thing happens with Burning Man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe that. I was going to say, we should, like, talk about that, like, the post-con, like, depression type deal. Fortunately, like, I just got back, like, on Wednesday, and it's Sunday now. Because I spent a week in San Jose after, you know, being at TwitchCon. And I've been occupying myself enough so that, like, that, like, high doesn't wear off. But, like, last year it was definitely a bummer because, like, you're with all these people. And even the people that you don't know, you still kind of feel like a connection with type deal. And there's definitely, like, a difference, but, like, how are you guys dealing with it this year, if you did go through it?
I unfortunately had to go straight back to work. Like, I got in at 1 a.m. the night that I came back and was at work for 7 a.m. the next day. Oof. So, oof. Yeah, it was sort of, for me, and then I work 12-hour days, 6 days a week. So for me, it was right back into work mode, and I run a crew of 10 people, so I just didn't have time to think about it necessarily. And that's not to say that it didn't affect me, because there were moments in downtime where I was like, God, I just don't want to be here. Like, take me back to San Diego, please. Like, let's just do a year of TwitchCon. But for me, I mean, on the flip side of that, I was lucky because I just didn't have time to think about it for the most part.
I didn't really experience a drop emotionally after TwitchCon. After TwitchCon, I was really sick. I got the con crud, and I'm just now over it 2 weeks later. And I still have a tiny bit of a lingering cough on occasion. But I'm going to say I'm pretty much better at this point. I actually have my voice back. But it was like 2 weeks of like sick recovery. And just I slept for 2 days after con. Combination of being sick and just needing to introvert hermit, because that was a lot of people, a lot of parties, a lot of loudness consistently for days. I slept a lot, and it was good for me, but emotionally I was okay. I did all right.
I don't really get, like, the con sadness, because even though you get to see them, like, IRL, and you get to have so much fun, like, in person, I always know that if I want to see them again, I can just, like, pop into their stream. And while it's not the same, it's still getting that glimmer of that personality of them that you absolutely love. So if you ever, like, get that post-con sadness, I just, like, go right back on Twitch and I'm like, hey, like, I loved meeting you at TwitchCon. And just talking to them in their streams is really awesome. And then if it's, like, a community member and they come into your stream or joining the Discord, like, talking about, just talking, I guess, to the people that you loved and met, is how I prevent that, because I don't really get it, I guess. But I do feel, like, bummed leaving cons, I guess, because I get FOMO, like, super, super bad. So I'm like, oh, no, like, I'm leaving this fun thing. Will I ever get to do it again? Even though I know that I will. So it's, like, one of those.
I think that's a great point, Mac. I went in and tried to reconnect with as many people as possible that I met in person on Twitch when con was over after I hibernated for 2 days. And it definitely helped me retain that sense of community, which we have on Twitch anyway, that gets to, like, this beautiful heightened level in person and then goes back to that normal level online. But that consistency online feels good, and it'll take you through to the next con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I also have. Oh, go ahead, Pika.
Oh, you're good.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, like, after feeling, you know, that dip emotionally last year, that's kind of like why I want to, you know, continue to occupy myself, like, just doing whatever I can with, like, my own content and being there for the friends that I've made at, you know, TwitchCon and stuff. Because I feel like if you occupy yourself, like, if you're, adamant about, like, progressing, like, forward and stuff, like, you don't really feel the dip. And kind of like how Max said, like, you can always just, like, revisit your peeps on their streams.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that helped me, too, was I have a community of people who didn't get to go, and I got to relive all my experiences by telling them through Discord and on the stream returning after TwitchCon. Mm-hmm. So that was fun, because, like, a lot of them suffer from FOMO as well. Like, they want to be there, they just can't because of financial or timing issues. So being able to like, walk them through some of our funnier and cooler experiences and stuff was helpful as well, because then I got to relive them.
I have to say, when I popped into your stream, Cubos, it was your first stream post-con, and you were talking about the things you experienced and talking about things that I was there with you for, and I had forgotten. It was really nice to be reminded, because it's so much packed into such a short time. It's easy for some of the details to filter through and get lost.
Yeah. Well, and I had, like, Steph and Kindars both texted me a list of things not to forget to talk about.
Good friends. Like,
don't forget this. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was great.
I think one of the ways that I didn't experience, like, too much of, like, the post-con sadness was just kind of, like, right away when I got back digging into my content and, like, digging into the things that I actually love and enjoy. So, like, when I got back, the new Destiny 2 expansion was out, so I was able to kind of focus on that for a while. And then I've been working on some, like, stream stuff, like, on the side, and just being able to, like, connect with friends through their streams and just being able to, like, keep those connections going, like, after the fact have been, like, really helping me, especially with all the other junk that's been going on in my life. Because Con was, like, my refresh of my life for the most part. Like, there's so much going on, and then being able to go on a trip and just relax and enjoy my time. And yeah, there might have been a little couple stressful moments, but just kind of going with the flow and just enjoying my time with the people that I love, it just was awesome. And I kind of wanted to keep that going when I got back home too. So
awesome. Anybody have any closing thoughts?
I would, this is something I didn't talk about yesterday because I didn't really think about it until after we finished talking, but for anybody who's like on the fence about going to TwitchCon or isn't sure if it's like for them, I would just recommend it. I would just say go try it. One of the things that I learned from doing this one was like get an Airbnb with your friends or a hotel room or something, like one or two of your friends at least, and split the costs and just go in with minimal plan for what you want to do. Like Uni said, you know, two or three things that you absolutely know you want to do, and then just go with the flow as you meet people. But like, you're not going to regret going. I mean, obviously don't go if you are financially incapable of doing so or it's going to ruin you. But if you can make it work, it's an experience that you're going to take away with you, and you learn so much about people and yourself from it that it's worth every second of being there.
I couldn't have said that better myself. That's amazing.
Thanks.
Dang, dude, good job, Cubos. Left everybody.
Y'all are speechless.
that might be a wrap.
It's good.
All right, sweet.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time here on Tater Talk.